To the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott and Leslie Hanks filling in for Bob, who is on a really neat expedition today, isn't he?
He is. Heading to the Creation Museum back in Kentucky.
Right, and isn't he on a private jet or something?
Actually, it's a commercial jet, and he's flying a charter flight.
Oh, a charter flight. Well, that's how much I know.
Best airline in Colorado.
With the best? Oh, it must be Frontier.
In the country.
It must be Frontier, huh?
I think so.
Wow. So he's going to see
the Creation Museum.
And Ken Ham. Hopefully he gets to see Ken Ham. And he's just there for the day. He's playing hooky. He has been out on the street for 2 weeks trying to collect signatures for the Personhood Amendment. He's been doing a fantastic job. People have been going out to meet him wherever he is. And he's collected lots and lots of signatures. Had lots and lots of fun, met lots and lots of new people, and so have a lot of us. I know, Leslie, you were out today.
I was, yeah. I was out for a few hours at the library in Aurora, and that's a great place to collect signatures. People are, they're really far more pro-life coming out of there, and I can't quite figure out why, than coming out of the grocery stores.
You know, I had this bumper sticker once, and it says, I think, therefore I am pro-life. And they're at a library, and they're reading, so maybe that's why.
Well, there you go. That could be. But, yeah, it was good. About, I'd say, you know, 3 to 5 out of every 10 were signing. So that was, it was very encouraging, and this is about the end of the effort. So
hey, we are in. This is the home stretch. This is it. This is the last turn on the home stretch.
Because, it's exciting.
Oh, you think we're going to make it?
God is so good, Joe. Don't you think we will?
Oh, I think we will. I think we will, but we don't know yet. We have to wait.
They have to take a peek at the signatures to make sure they're valid.
That's right. But isn't it going to be announced tomorrow at a press conference at the
Knights of Columbus Hall, just up from Colorado Right to Life's headquarters down by the Capitol?
Yeah, 5555 Grant Street, and everyone is invited to the Knights of Columbus to hear whether or not we've got enough, exactly how many we've got, and to watch the press conference.
It should be really a great event. And for any of you listeners out there that have not turned your petition in, you can still bring your petition tomorrow. I understand there should be somebody there that will be able to, notarize the petition. And I'm pretty sure they can still turn them in tomorrow, Joe. Is that not your understanding?
That's my understanding. But if you're going to bring petitions in to the Knights of Columbus, you got to bring them in earlier than 12:30. There'll be someone there starting from 11 o'clock. Now, if you're in a situation where you have to get someplace before 11 o'clock, you won't be able to make it to Knights of Columbus by 11 o'clock. Go to Colorado Right to Life at 9:30, and you can turn them in there, and she will take them down to the
Knights of Columbus Hall.
Yeah.
Okay.
And after the press conference, it's going to be really cool because we're going to march the petitions over to the state capitol to the Secretary of State's office and hand them personally to him. So that's going to be a fun event. I don't know how fun the weather's going to be at that point.
I was going to say, wear layers, because even though today was gorgeous up close to 80, tomorrow I think they say we may wake up to 3 inches of snow.
And it may be snowing and raining when this happens, so make sure that you bring all the weather gear that you need and a little extra for people who forget.
That's right.
That always helps.
Every signature will be thrilled to get. So even if you don't have a full petition, you've got 2 or 3 on a petition, bring it in anyway. If you can join us, we'd love to meet you. We'd love to thank you for all your help.
And every signature is a wanted signature. And there's also another event tonight at Panera Bread at 77th and Wadsworth, where they can walk in, get their petitions notarized, I'm pretty sure, and hand them in. There'll be some people from Colorado for Equal Rights there to collect your petition.
Oh, that's great. And Panera is such a great place. They do have free wireless. It's my home away from home.
I know it is.
I always stop and get a great iced tea and spend a little time catching up with emails and things that need attention. So I love Panera's, and that's very great that they're going to have people there tonight that'll be receiving petitions again. So
yeah, it'll be between 6 and 7 tonight.
Awesome.
Let me give the address again. 77th and Wadsworth, Panera Bread. Between 6 and 7 o'clock tonight, you can turn your petitions in, have a little party, get a little tea. If you're like me, you'll get coffee and and have a good time. Meet some of the people from Colorado for Equal Rights also, and some of the other people that have been out petitioning, maybe that you don't know, and you can meet.
Just have a little camaraderie. Yeah,
right.
There have just been so many fabulous people that have joined this effort. It's so encouraging because for so many years, Joe, you and I know that things were just on hold. They were just, I mean, we were trying to do some stuff, but, you know, to make the public aware of the dignity and humanity of the preborn, but nothing has mobilized the troops like this effort has.
Nothing has been, I'll tell you what, it makes me cry. I cry because it's happening.
I remember shedding a few tears with you yesterday at church.
Yeah, we were just crying because for 30 years I've been praying for this.
Exactly.
And it's happening right before my eyes. I thought I'd be dead and gone. You know, at the rate the pro-life industry was snail crawling along or snail slithering along, we were getting nothing done. And no one cared about personhood. And now, with the Personhood Amendment and American Right to Life and Colorado Right to Life and the other ministries and organizations that have come on board with us from all over the country, things are moving, and there's only one reason why.
Because we're honoring God for the first time in so long.
And that's the other reason I'm crying, because we are honoring God. And he's been left out for so long. We've abrogated our power and authority to lawyers. I almost said liars.
So, oh.
And I have a very good lawyer, so I don't want to say that. To lawyers and politicians and crooked judges and now we've taken it all back and we've given it to God, and look what he does.
It's
in
really
just a few
been
months.
Awesome. Well, really, ever since Brian Rohrbaugh became the president of Colorado Right to Life, and of course now he's no longer president of Colorado Right to Life, but he's president of American Right to
right.
Life, if I've got that straight.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since he came on board and said that babies whose fathers are criminals do not deserve the death penalty. I remember at the March for Life, the year before he was elected to serve with us, he spoke, and it really ruffled some feathers. Some people really got upset. But that became our new theme, actually, for Colorado Right to Life. We created a value statement, and we just said, you know, we will not do anything from this point forward that compromises on any life. Every baby has infinite worth in God's eyes.
Yeah, Brian's statement coupled with the "and then you can kill your baby" litmus test, if you want to call it that, for any law or legislation that comes out that's pro-life, it has turned the nation on its ear. And not just pro-abortion people. Pro-life people are all in a tailspin because they've worked so hard for some of these so-called pro-life regulations. They've worked so hard and so long for them, but there has been no leadership in the nation as far as spiritual leadership. This God says this, and this is why we have to do this, and this is why we can't do this. There's been none until now.
Well, I have to say, Judy Brown,
oh, you're right,
stalwart of the movement, and for years and years, I think she has never wavered.
She hasn't
wanted to, you know, have a personhood amendment, and she is cheering us on,
yes,
clapping,
she is.
And she's going to be watching how things turn out tomorrow at this press conference.
You know, you're right about Judy Brown, and there's been a lot of us that have been screaming personhood, but nobody heard us. You could hear Judy Brown, but you know what? When men take leadership, things happen, and that's the way God wants it. The men are supposed to be leading this country. They're supposed to be leading their families. They're supposed to be teaching us. And finally, there are some men that are willing to take that position that women have not been able to gobble up and chew on and make effeminate. There's a few out there
now.
That's
so true. And, you know, I really saw that in action, how our country has been almost paralyzed by men being told they have no right to an opinion.
Right.
The feminist movement really has damaged men in this country. And at the library collecting signatures, so many of the guys, when I would ask them, they would just parrot, well, I believe in a woman's right to choose, you know. And you could just tell they have been brainwashed to think that they have no right to have an opinion on this issue whatsoever.
You know what I found ironic was last Tuesday when we were at the Capitol for the pro-aborts rally against personhood.
Oh, the one where there was nobody in attendance except for the people that were in the event, and then the few pro-lifers that straggled up to kind of see what they had to say. That was kind of remarkable, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, and I found it really ironic because every time a pro-life man opens up his mouth, they say, when you have a uterus, you can have an opinion.
Right.
How many men were with them in their press conference and they're allowed an opinion? They don't have a uterus.
Well,
you know,
that's a good point, but that guy was supposed to be a doctor. I wouldn't want to be going to him as a patient.
Oh, my goodness, that Dr. Ross. Ooh, he's a frightening guy. But I'm talking about just the men that were standing there, the politicians, all the men that were holding signs that were part of their press conference.
Yeah.
You know, a pro-life man doesn't have a right to open his mouth. But a pro-death guy,
oh yeah,
man, anything he says, you know, is... unbelievable, the hypocrisy in this fight for the unborn. It's just unbelievable to me. It makes me sick.
You know, Joe, before we get off this topic, would you hand me the Alan Key statement? I thought maybe we'd take a couple of quotes out of there, or you can go ahead and refer to them. We know that he's been watching very closely.
Yes, he has.
What's going on in Colorado, and I think the whole country really is. You know, but they probably don't think that it's going to be successful. Everybody just wrings their hands and says, "Oh, you know, who can win against Roe v. Wade and against the Supreme Court?" And the lawyers will throw it out, or the judges, or whatever. But I think Dr. Keyes is pretty committed to following through with us and saying that we're on the right track, and.
Well, just a second. Right before we get into Dr. Keyes, let me tell you what happened to Ron Brock. Ron Brock is so excited. He travels the whole nation. He has a truth truck.
He's good friend Ron.
Right. And he's
servant of the Lord.
Amen. You're not kidding, servant of the Lord. I admire him. Well, he has been traveling all over the country for a few weeks. And one of his stops was in Ohio. And he began to tell this pastor, Will Duffy, about, not Will Duffy, Bill Duffy. Different from our producer here. And he began to tell him what's going on in Colorado. And so the pastor got up and he talked a little bit and he goes, now Ron Brock's going to come to speak. No preparation
or warning.
Ron thought he'd have 5 minutes. He had the whole service.
Oh,
and the whole
neat.
Service, all he did was talk about the accomplishments of Colorado Right to Life, American Right to Life, what's going on in Denver. The world's going to change. Denver's going to change.
Oh, that is fabulous.
And just really instilling some inspiration into those people. And that goes along with what you were saying. It is changing the whole nation. People are hearing about it. I'm getting emails from everywhere. Joe, keep us updated. You know, that's just, it's just really, really exciting right now.
It is. It's a, yeah. I think we're going to be ground zero for the next several months because obviously with the Democrat National Convention coming here this summer and there's some potential for excitement. I have to say.
Yeah, and even Dr. Keyes is excited.
Yeah, he may come out to do a press event with us.
Wouldn't that be fabulous?
That would be fabulous. Yeah. But you know, he's saying in this statement that he wrote for liberty and our posterity. I'll have this on my blog. As of tomorrow, once, you know, we know
and
how
your blog
everything
is.
Oh, it's Passionate Pro-Lifer, and they can find it by going to lessforlife.blogspot.com.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I'll put this up after we know that we've been victorious, as we think we very well may be.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking about that Roe v. Wade's architect, Harry Blackmun, even said, I know we've probably mentioned this on air before, but even said that if personhood is ever established, that the abortion decision goes down the tubes, that the house of cards begins to fall. There is no case.
Right. The abortion decision goes down the tube. The industry is going to scratch on the walls of that tube, trying not to go down. So we've got a lot of work to do once we get a child declared a person.
Absolutely. And he ends here by saying, like the issue of slavery in the 19th century, abortion starkly challenges us to live according to this principle or else discard it, and with it our claim to unalienable rights and the political liberty founded upon them. This is the challenge the Personhood Amendment places before the people of Colorado as they defend and vindicate the life of posterity in the womb. They will restore and strengthen the premise of God-ordained moral equality that is the soul of our republic and the indispensable foundation of our life as a free people.
I love that guy.
He really is very eloquent.
I love that guy. A little simpler said sometimes, but I love that guy.
I had the opportunity, Joe, just a little bunny trail here, to stand by his side at the Constitution Convention. Constitution Party convention a couple of weeks back. And I stood there literally for 4 hours listening to him to the point of dropping. I was just exhausted. And he stood there for 4 hours saying all the amazing stuff that he said. He was talking a lot about, the situation in the Middle East and, you know, the political ramifications of everybody trying to say that, you know, we have to bring the troops back. And I mean, he's just brilliant. And, oh, my gosh, what a thinker.
Not only a thinker, he's a leader. He doesn't care if nobody's listening. He's still leading. You know,
that's right.
Nowadays, every politician is out for the next vote. So they tailor their speeches to the votes that they think that they can collect. And Alan Keyes doesn't do that.
He just says the truth. And yeah. if it falls on deaf ears, as it has for many, many years, he still speaks the truth from the heart. And he said he's absolutely committed to God because he made a promise that if he ever stopped speaking the truth, that God would take away his ability to be as eloquent as he is. So
Wow. That's
pretty awesome.
Yes, it is.
You know, I have a topic that is so near and dear to my heart that I don't think we've really done anything with on air yet. Maybe we've mentioned it briefly one of the last times that we did the show, but some of the listeners may be aware of the fact that I myself and then Denver Bible Church and a ton of people around the country fought to try to save Terri Schiavo.
That's right.
And there's another woman that's just about at the exact same point that Terri was when we were fighting for her life. She had a brain injury as a result of some poor choices that she made. She did have a drug overdose. She was pregnant at the time, and they kept her alive, and the baby's been born. Her name's Lauren Richardson. She's back in Delaware. And I'm just kind of...
Lauren Richardson is the name of the woman, not
of the woman,
baby.
Yeah. The baby's name's Ember, and the mother is Edith. And I'm forgetting her last name at the moment, but anyway, Edith Tower. Anyway, Edith has told the courts that her daughter wouldn't want to live as a disabled woman, and so there's this battle on, and Randy, Lauren's dad, is fighting to save her life, and Edith is trying to end it. So it's just really...
So are they married or unmarried?
They are separate. Yeah, they're not married anymore. He's remarried and has other children with his new wife. And
so who has custody?
Custody has been awarded to Edith, sadly.
Why?
Sad to say, because Lauren had a struggle with drugs and went through rehab and had 10 months of success and then found herself pregnant, and her mother was trying to force her to abort, and that, people think, may have caused her to relapse.
To relapse into the drugs?
Into the drugs, yes. Yeah. So now we have a woman that we know off the bat is pro-death, who has been awarded custody of Lauren and is claiming that she doesn't want to live and wants to have her feeding tube removed and starve her, just like they did Terri. So I'm hoping people will take a look at Lauren's website. And it's called lifeforlauren.org. And there is, I think there's information on there where people can, they've been asked to write Governor Minner. Ruth Ann Minner is the governor of Delaware. And people need to write her and say that Lauren doesn't deserve the death penalty. I mean, this business of saying somebody's in a PVS, which there's a YouTube showing Lauren is interacting with her dog, and it's, you know, she's anything but PVS, but apparently...
Can you tell the audience what PVS is?
Oh, they call it persistent vegetative state. That's what they tried to say Terri was as well, and we all watched Terri smile at her mom when her mom came in the room, even though her vision might have been severely impaired. She lit up like a light bulb when her mom came in, and so Lauren is very much interacting with her pet and her dad, and there's a YouTube YouTube of her. If you go to YouTube and just put in Lauren Richardson, I think you'll find that.
Can you give her a website again?
Yeah, lifeforlauren.org. And I have numerous posts about her on my website as well. So we're just trying to mobilize some interest and help to save her life. And if people could write the governor of Delaware, we would be most grateful.
We most certainly would, and I think so would Lauren's dad. If you want to call in, the number is 1-800-8-NYART or 1-800-836-9278 if you want to call in on any topic. But if you're interested in the petitions, you have questions about petitions, I think we can answer them here today, too. So, Leslie.
Yes.
Tonight, 6 to 7, are you going to be there?
Tonight I am not going to be there. I'm actually going to go to my grandson's preschool graduation.
Oh,
so
I didn't know you graduated from preschool. How cute. Okay, well, we will have people from Colorado Equal Rights there, and you can get your petitions notarized. Just don't want people to forget. It's between 6 and 7 at 77th and Wadsworth. Tomorrow at 1555 Grant Street is the
Knights of Columbus.
And if you need to get any petitions in before then and after tonight, Colorado Right to Life at 1535 Grant Street.
Suite 303.
Suite 303.
Maybe we should give the phone number to Colorado Right to Life in case people need to give a quick holler and make sure Donna's there.
Yeah.
I hope I don't cause her a big bunch of problems with this, but she actually might be willing to run down and pick them up if somebody would like to call and not have to pay for parking. So call her at 303-753-9394 if you have a petition you'd like to drop off, and just let her know you're going to be coming by, and she might be able to get away from the phones for a few minutes and run downstairs and collect it from you at the door, and then you won't have to pay for parking.
So, Les, now I'd like to talk about Mr. Small.
Oh, what a great article. The Denver Post. I have to give them a pat on the back, which I very rarely do. But, yeah, what a great article today.
It was great.
Changing Hate to Love.
That was a fabulous article. And the thing that this poor man was in a town. What was the town he grew up in? Do you know?
I wonder if it says here. He's a Holocaust survivor.
He's a Holocaust survivor. But as he grew up with Gentiles and Jews, and there was no problem. And all of a sudden, his friends were calling him Dirty Jew.
Yeah, are you wanting to know the town he grew up in, Poland? It's I'm not sure I could pronounce it, but I'll spell it for you. M-O-L-C-Z-A-D-Z.
Okay, I couldn't do it either.
Malzads, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know if you pronounce the C there. But yeah, he was born there in 1916, so he's just turned 91. And what a photo. Now, the crazy thing is, this was like the front page story this morning online, and
right.
I believe it is, the picture is on the front page of the hard copy of the newspaper today. It's a fabulous photo. He's showing that he was shot in the arm trying to escape some of the people that were oppressing the Jews in those days. But anyway, the story has pretty well disappeared from the online version already, and it's just such a great story.
It's a great story.
Electa Draper did it, and she, interestingly enough, she's been doing all the stories on personhood.
Oh,
so
neat.
I wrote her and told her what a fabulous job she did with this story, and just really gave me goosebumps. And so I just wanted to thank her for what a great job. And, you know, maybe if the Denver Post hears from people when they do a story that really just is so illustrative of how evil was allowed to flourish in the world at one point. And, you know, maybe they'll get the point that evil is flourishing again in the form of Planned Parenthood and their minions. There was a really good quote in here that I actually posted on my blog. I'm going to look for it while you chat for a minute here.
Well, I want to tell his story. He was finally picked up and thrown in a concentration camp, abused like all of them that were in the concentration camp. Finally, almost completely starved to death. In fact,
75 pounds, I think it said that
he weighed. He was 75 pounds and thrown on the top of corpses, just being left there to die.
Oh.
And one of our military men noticed that he was breathing and got him to the medics, and they actually nursed him back to health. But one of the most touching things in the story about him was he was at a train station, and there was a mom and a daughter of an SS agent that had been ostracized. And they were trying to get him, to bribe him, to hide them.
That's right.
And he didn't take their money. He just told them to go get a bottle of vodka and come back. And when they did that, he took the vodka and bribed one of the train guards to hide them.
That's right.
And he hid them on the train, and he got them to safety. And you know what he said? He said, "I just thank God that I still had a heart."
Oh, that is so powerful. And you know, the crazy thing about the story, too, is that he had a friend, a policeman, back in on the East Coast. I think it was New York City. They were friends for 40 years. And it turned out, I mean, we want people to read the story, but it turned out that the friend actually, I believe, was the one that took him off the pile of rotting corpses. He found a person alive.
When they finally decided to trade war stories after over 40 years, they each told the same story.
Oh,
it was just amazing.
So
we have a phone call, Leslie. Keith is on the phone.
Oh, Keith.
Hi, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're fantastic.
Great.
It's great to hear from you. How's it going in petition land?
Fantastic. I don't think it could be going much better, really.
Wow. Keith Mason, the grassroots activist leader of the Personhood Amendment in Colorado. How great to hear from you, Keith.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you guys are talking about personhood again today, and it's coming down to the wire. I wanted to remind everybody, I know you guys are doing a great job, and you're talking about Martin Small.
Yes.
I've met Martin Small, and he's a great man, and it's just powerful, his story and his testimony.
He's 91 years old.
I could probably tell everybody. He actually signed my personhood petition.
Wow.
Awesome.
It's not a surprise that he would sign a personhood petition. He's 91, isn't he?
Yes, 91. He's sharp as a tack, and we sat down and talked, and I had the opportunity to meet with him, and he signed my petition. And at one point, you know, people considered him a non-person too.
That's right.
Hey, Keith, there's a fabulous quote in this article that is from Victoria McCabe, a professor at Regis, and she says, "Martin's reverence for life and joy for living are embedded in every sentence."
Powerful.
Very powerful.
He looks like such a precious guy.
He's living here now in Colorado, isn't he? That's how you met him?
That's right. Yeah, I was actually able to have dinner with him. And we probably will come out with some quotes from him about the campaign at some time soon. And
that is just awesome.
Incredible man, incredible testimony, and one of the most powerful evenings of my life, literally, to meet with him and to hear his story and just how it, it relates to what we're doing here and how we're fighting the fight to protect all human life. You know, that's what Christians should have been doing in Germany. You know, his friends shouldn't have been calling him a dirty Jew. They should have been trying to protect him and save his life, like some did, and hit him in a crawl space and things like that. So that's the proper action of Christians, is to respond and protect all human life.
So Keith, are you going to be at Panera Bread this evening?
Yes, I encourage everyone, if you have any petitions that have signatures on them, please get them to us tonight if you can. We got to make copies of every petition. We'll have a notary at the Panera Bread in Arvada. That's about 77th and Wadsworth Street in Arvada. And we'll have a notary there from 6 to 7 o'clock tonight. And then if anybody would like to bring their petitions, last-minute petitions, if you just can't make it to Panera tonight, we hope you do. Love to see you there. I'll be there. But if you can't make it tonight, please come to the victory party tomorrow. And bring your petitions by 11 o'clock if you can.
Okay, and, Keith, we got to go. The music's running. We got to cut out.
Thank you, Keith, for everything. You're the man.
And remember, Maranatha Christian School, the best Christian school in Nevada, in Colorado.